Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. My name is Chris Reeves, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I hope you have your Bible with us and you can follow along. This morning, I'd like to talk about accountability and some things that everyone in the world will do. I'm told that there are about 7.6 billion people in the world. That's a lot of folks. There's going to be some things that all 7.6 billion people will do. And even including more than that, those who have lived in the past, all the way from the days of Adam and Eve forward, those who are living in the present and those who are living in the future. What are some things that everyone will do? That's what I want to study with you this morning. And I hope that our lesson will be beneficial. You know, a lot of times I'm discouraged when I see the lack of accountability in the world today. Accountability is just simply taking an account of one's responsibility, answering for one's actions. And you'll see a lot today where there's a lack of accountability in a number of different areas of people's lives. Sometimes people lack accountability in their work ethic, sometimes in their marriage, sometimes in their family, in their personal lives, as a citizen of the United States. And as a person who is to be having a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, they lack accountability. Friends, there are going to be some things that every one of us, myself included, will do one day. There will be no evading responsibility. There will be no evading accountability. There will be no walking off and just not dealing with something. A lot of times today, that's the solution that people have to issues and problems and challenges that come up. They just simply walk off. One day, there will be no walking off. But there will be some things that everyone will do. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. And when I see the lack of accountability in the world today, where it seems like some people have no sense of value of human life, and so they just will kill someone. Someone will just divorce their mate after a certain time and not care about them or the children, just walk off. Sometimes people will not fulfill their job from day to day. Their school work, whatever the case might be. When I see those types of things, when you see them, I want us to remember from God's word that there are some things that everyone will do. First of all, everyone who has and is living and will live, everyone will hear the Lord when he returns. Turn with me to John chapter 5, verses 26 through 29. John chapter 5, 26 through 29. You know, today a lot of people don't want to listen to the Lord. They don't want to listen to Jesus. They don't want to listen to his word. But there's going to be one day when Jesus comes and speaks and everyone will hear his voice. You'll have to. Sooner or later, everyone will hear Jesus. I may not want to hear him today. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to tune into the Let the Bible Speak program. There may be someone, and I hope it wouldn't be the case. I certainly don't wish this, but there may be someone even, for example, with this program who would turn the channel at 8 o'clock knowing that there is going to be a 30-minute Bible program. I just don't want to listen to that kind of thing. Be that as it may, everyone will hear the Lord when he returns. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 25, verily I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and shall live. He's talking about those who are dead in sin. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a son of man. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, which is heaven, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment, which is hell. All that are in the tomb shall hear his voice. There's going to come a day when we have to listen to Jesus, but for many that'll be too late. Consider how many do not hear Jesus today, as we've just mentioned. I don't want to hear what the preacher says from God's Word. I don't want to hear what my friends tell me from God's Word. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to go to a church service. I don't want to talk about religious things. You know, some people say politics and religion are off limits. Don't talk with me about those things. But we're going to have to listen to Jesus sooner or later, friends, and it's better sooner than later. Will you listen to Jesus today? Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." John says the same thing in the seven letters to the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Now's the time to open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the Word of God, so that when we do hear him, when we die and we're raised from the dead and we hear that voice, it will be into the resurrection of life and not the resurrection of judgment and eternal damnation. Hear the Lord's, friend. And the Let the Bible Speak program is simply an opportunity and an occasion for me to share the words of Jesus with you. I'm not interested in my opinion, my think-sos, my feelings about different matters, but we want to let the Bible speak. And when we do that, in particular, the New Testament, we're letting Jesus speak. God speaks to us today through his Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, verse 5, God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." We've got to listen to Jesus. So many in his day closed their ears, the scribes and Pharisees and others. They didn't want to listen. And when he sent out his apostles and they began to preach on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, you read in the book of Acts that many people didn't want to listen. Some were hardened and disobedient. Some stopped their ears. Some closed their eyes and their minds and their ears. But then there were others who were humble, and they listened, and they changed their lives. Friends, let's humble ourselves and listen to what Jesus is telling us. He's trying to guide us each day. Everyone will hear the Lord when he returns. Number two, everyone will bow their knees. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Of course, in the Word of God, bowing to someone is recognizing their authority. It's also showing homage and recognizing that someone is greater than us. And it's an act of humility. Sooner or later, everyone will be brought to their knees. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are. You will bow before the Almighty Son of God. Many don't want to do that today. Many don't want to humble themselves and recognize that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, because they have their power and their riches and their education, and they're not concerned about a lowly Galilean from Nazareth. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, having written about Jesus, how he came to earth in the form of a man, and he was a servant, and he died on the cross. Verse 9, "Wherefore also God highly exalted him." There's another principle in Scripture that if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. And in verse 8, Jesus humbled himself in becoming a man and dying on the cross, and then God exalted him. Those who humble themselves one day will be exalted, just like Jesus humbled himself in coming to this earth, and then he was exalted at the right hand of God in his resurrection and then later his ascension. Paul says, "Wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a day in which that will happen. Sooner or later, everyone will be brought to their knees. Why is that, you say? Well, Paul writes in another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 that the head of every man is Christ. Now, we may not recognize that. We may not admit that. Many may not agree with that, but that's the truth. The head of every man is Christ. And the head there is speaking of authority. And so we must answer to Jesus' words in the New Testament. Sometimes people think that the Bible is just for religious people. And if that's something you want in your life, then you read it. But if you don't want that in your life, then you're not amenable to that. You're not accountable to that. No, friend, all of us are. Jesus sent his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel, meaning that everyone preached to, which is the whole world, is accountable and amenable to that gospel that was preached. Just because someone doesn't open up their Bible doesn't mean that they're not amenable to it. Just because someone doesn't read the New Testament doesn't mean that they're not accountable to it. We're accountable to every word. Jesus said, "The words that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." John chapter 12 and verse 48. So the words that Jesus speaks are going to be our judge. And what that means then is, we are accountable to those words. Jesus said in John 12, 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." Why? Jesus says, "For I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me, he hath given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus didn't just give his own opinion. As deity, as the Son of God, he spoke the very word of God and what God commanded him to say. Notice in John 12, 49, "He hath given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." And Jesus didn't alter that. He didn't change that. He spoke exactly what God wanted him to speak. And that is going to be our judge in the last day, those words. And we're going to have to bow our knee. It is better to bow now than to do it later and not be prepared. It is better to hear now than to hear his voice later and not be prepared. And then along with that same passage of Scripture, in Philippians 2 and verse 11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Sooner or later, everyone will use their mouths to confess Jesus as Lord. But we can either do it now voluntarily and because we want to obey, or we can be forced to in the judgment day. And to confess Jesus is to speak and say that I am on his side. I identify with him. I follow his word. I'm a Christian. I'm going to obey him each day. I'm not ashamed of that. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Everyone therefore," Jesus said, "everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that that's a part of becoming a Christian. That's a part of the plan of salvation. Paul writes, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we do that when we become a Christian, along with repenting of our sins and being baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And when we do these things, we become a Christian, but it is to be something that we do each day. Confession is not just simply a one-time act, but daily we confess Christ in what we say, in what we do, and how we live. And if we choose not to do that now, one day we will be made to do that, but it will be too late in the judgment day to turn our life around. There are some things, friends, that everyone will do. 7.6 billion people on the earth right now, not even taking into account all of those who have lived before and who will live after this day. There are some things everyone will do. I find it interesting that we all have different responsibilities in life and different accountabilities. But there's going to be some things that everyone, no matter who you are, no matter your age, no matter if you're a man or a woman, young or old, everyone will do these things. There's some things in life today that not everyone will do or is accountable or responsible for. If I'm married, I have some responsibilities and accountabilities that non-married people do not have. If I am a man or a woman, if I'm a parent or a child, we don't all do the same things each day because we have different abilities and opportunities and responsibilities. Sometimes what we do varies based upon whether we're a man or a woman, based upon whether we're an adult or a child, based upon our level of income, based upon our level of education, based upon our marriage status. We do different kinds of things. And when we have jobs, not everyone does the same thing on their job. There's a variety of all kinds of things that people do, but there are some things in life one day that everyone will do exactly the same thing. And that's what I want us to consider in our lesson this morning. Will you do these things now so that you'll be ready when the Lord comes? So everyone will hear the Lord when He returns. Everyone will bow their knees. Everyone will confess that Christ is Lord. And number four, everyone will stand in judgment. Everyone from the beginning of time until the Lord comes again will stand in judgment. No one will be able to escape that. No one will be able to avoid that. No one will be able to absent themselves from that. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, "But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written," and then he quotes from Isaiah, "As I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." Ready or not, sooner or later, everyone will stand in judgment. Are you ready for that, friend? Am I ready for that? Consider how many people escape judgment today in this life. Sometimes people will escape the police. They'll get in their car and they'll run away. Someone shoots someone, or a bank robbery, or a traffic violation, and they run off. And they hide from the law. They get away from the local police, and they get away from authorities. And sometimes they're able to go their whole life like that, on the run. Sometimes young people escape the judgment of their parents. Citizens escape the judgment of law enforcement. Employees escape the judgment of their employers. And they're able to hide and run and get away. And after a time, people just give up. But not in the judgment day, friend. God does not weary. God does not forget. These things will be brought to view. I want to talk a little bit this morning with the time that we have left of some things that will be brought up in the judgment day. everyone will stand in judgment, and then everyone will have to give account of every one of these things that I want to mention. Number one, every deed or action will be judged. There are many places in the New Testament where we're going to have to give an account of the deeds that are done in the body. Matthew 16:27, Romans 2, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Peter 1:17, we're going to have to give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. Every word will be judged. Stop and think about that. Have you ever said anything or done anything that you should not have said or done? That will be brought up. That is a humbling thought. Sometimes we'll say and do things and we think, well, nobody knows or nobody cares. God does, and he's holding that in account. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What have you said or done lately that you're going to have to give an account of? Now's the time to be forgiven of that. Every man-made religion will be judged. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13 that every plant, talking about a religious body or group, every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Every religious group that has ever existed that was not founded by God and was not the church that Jesus built, Matthew 16 and verse 18, it'll all be plucked up. Every thought will be judged. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 and 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 that we have to give an account of our thoughts. Somebody says, well, I didn't actually act it out and I didn't actually say it. I was just thinking it, so that is okay. Paul writes, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall each man have his praise from God. The counsels of the hearts are going to be brought forth. Our thoughts are going to be brought forth. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes about that very thing. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. The secrets of men, the thoughts. And then each sin that has been committed that is not forgiven by the blood of Jesus in baptism, every sin will be judged. In Hebrews chapter 2, we have to give an account of those things. And the Hebrew writer is talking about God's nature. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's a rhetorical question. We cannot escape. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That's how God works. He holds us accountable. So every deed will be judged. Every word will be judged. Every man-made religion will be judged. Every secret thought will be judged. Every sin and transgression will be judged. Friends, there's some things that everyone will do. Everyone listening to me this morning, everyone not listening. That's just simply the Bible truth. And so it is good for us to think about these things and bring our lives into conformity to God's word and will. And when I think of some things that everyone will do, I have two closing thoughts. First of all, when I think of these things and I think of others, I think of justice. There's going to come a day when those who have done wrong will be brought to justice. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. All of those who have done wrong in their lives and have seemingly got away with it, so to speak, got off scot-free, we say, they will be held accountable. And so I think about the justice of God. But when I think about some things everyone will do, I think about myself. And I would like for you to think about yourselves. When I think about others, I think about justice. When I think about myself, I think about humility. That I'm going to hear Jesus and bow my knee and confess his name and stand in judgment. Am I ready to do that? It's a humbling thought to stand before the Creator of the universe. Am I looking for the Lord to come? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Do I love his appearing when he came the first time and I'm looking for him to come again? I'm waiting and looking, 1 Thessalonians 2:10. Have I heard his word and obeyed it? Have I bowed down to him in humble obedience? Have I made the good confession? Paul talks about the good confession in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Along with repenting of my sins and being baptized into Christ. Am I ready to stand in judgment? You see, friends, what everyone will do, I will do, and you will do. We're not any different than what Jesus said in John 5 and Paul wrote in Philippians 2 and Romans 14. We're going to stand with the crowd of humanity from the beginning of time until the Lord comes again. And Jesus describes that great scene in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations." You'll be there, I'll be there. "And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then jump down to verse 41. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels." Friends, are you going to be on the right hand or on the left hand? Are you going to hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father," or are you going to hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire"? We're all going to be there. Jesus said that all the nations, and that includes you, and that includes me. I hope that our study this morning has been helpful. Some things that everyone will do, you will do, and I will do. Knowing that, let's make our lives ready today. Can we study together? Contact us. I would love to come and have a home Bible study with you. Come visit one of the services of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would be glad to have you. Let's prepare our lives so that we are not taken unaware when Jesus comes again. Let's be ready to do those things that we know we will have to do. Thank you for joining us this morning, and have a good day.